To one side of them, JB hovered near Mildred and Doc, waiting to see if there was anything he could do to assist as she gently nursed Doc back to reality. Mildred was talking to him with a mixture of soothing tones and cheerful abuse, cajoling Doc in the manner he would expect from her as she tried to bring him back to reality. Dean could see that Jack Laurent was still curled into a fetal ball. Despite the strange jump dreams he usually endured, Dean often snapped out of unconsciousness fairly easily and was very rarely as ill as he had been this time around. Jack, on the other hand, always seemed to suffer badly, his thin and wiry frame ill-equipped for the specific rigors of a Matrans jump. Although in the outside world he was a strong and resourceful hunter, he was always one of the last to come around, and nearly always vomited heavily in the same way that Dean had a short while before. The youth smiled ruefully. At least now he knew how Jack felt.
Yes, yes. It all becomes clear now. Once more onto the breach, my dear friend. Once more onto the breach.
Yeah, still a crazy old coot, but at least the usual crazy.
Mildred stood and moved away from Doc to close in on the still prone Jack, who was twitching with the first stirrings of consciousness. Doc's eyes, surprisingly clear and piercing, considering his state a few moments before, met Dean's.
A strange world, is it not, Master Corder?
Sure is, Doc.
Dean watched Mildred bend over Jack, JB waiting patiently nearby. Then Dean's eyes rested once more on his father and Christy. He had the strangest feeling. Something had been eating at him from the back of his mind. Something that had to do with family and the feeling that he had to search for something, or someone. It had been there before the sudden breaking of light and the wave of nausea had washed over him to wipe out everything. But it was still gnawing away, trying to make itself known again. The redoubt proved to be empty. The companions adopted standard tactics for exiting the chamber and securing the immediate area. Because of the opacity of the armor glass and the thickness of its soundproofing, a functional necessity, it was always hard to tell if the area immediately outside the chamber door held any threat. So it was a matter of course to adopt triple red status until safety was assured. It was simply a matter of sweeping the corridors to do this. It seemed the redoubt had been unoccupied for some time, and the entrance had never been discovered by anyone outside. The place was still fully stocked. They were able to sleep comfortably for the first time in ages, and also to shower and change their clothes. For Mildred, it was an opportunity to restock pharmacy supplies. For JB, the chance to replenish stocks of ammo, grens, and plasex. The kitchens allowed them to acquire some self-heats. The preserved food, which combusted with enough heat to warm the food on opening, was far from ideal fare. But when it was difficult to find any kind of game to hunt, self-heats were invaluable until the companions were able to find something more palatable.
Are we ready to head off?
Ryan shouldered his backpack, now full with their recent plunder. He was greeted with assent from the companions, who hoisted their own loaded backpacks and shouldered their newly cleaned and refilled weapons.
Let us hope that the reason we have found this undisturbed is not because the entrance is under a ton of rocks.
You don't even want to go down that road, my friend. Not that you could, if it was under a ton of rock.
After 2 days' rest in perfect peace, and the added bonus of a shower and a change of clothing, they felt more than ready to face what may lie ahead.
Okay, let's get going.
They made their way in file through the lower level's empty corridors to the elevator. Having already tested the car during their brief stay, they knew it could carry them to the top level. Leaving the car as it came to rest, they walked briskly along the winding corridor until they arrived at the final set of sectors, which was all that separated them from the outside world. Ryan, at the head of the line, paused before initiating the procedure that would open the door. Everyone scanned the walls and ceiling, searching for any sign of stress that may have resulted from earth movement, indicating that the door could be damaged in any way.
It doesn't look like there's any problem so far. This tunnel looks as smooth as the day it was built.
The sector began to rise, a cool breeze wafting in through the widening gap. The redoubt was positioned at the summit of a small hill. They could see a road that twisted its way down the incline of the slope until it reached the edge of a beach, then veered off to the left behind the circumference of the hill. The beach was short, leading to a body of water that appeared to contain an island a couple of miles from shore. The island looked to be only a few square miles in size. Beyond the island, the sea stretched toward the horizon.
They did not exactly try to hide this one, did they?
I don't know, Doc. Facing away from the mainland, would anyone have come around this side of the hill? There's only that island and not a lot else.
Yeah, I can figure that before Skydark. But what about after? How come no one coming down the peninsula has searched this out, especially as it's so open?
If there are no Vills near, it could be, Mildred, that no one wants to come down the peninsula, even if they're in search of shelter. After all, it's not as if this is even much of a peninsula.
Best to wait to see what it's like when we get around to the other side. Keep on Triple Red. We'll follow the road. There isn't much cover for us or for anyone wanting to attack us, so I guess we should be okay as long as we keep alert.
The one-eyed man signaled them to move and began to walk down the road that curved along the slope of the hill. Following him down, it was easy for the rest to see that his assessment of the territory was accurate. The hill was a verdant green, with only small rocks and pebbles poking through the covering of topsoil. There was little in the way of vegetation to provide any sort of cover on the hillside, and Christie's hair flowed freely down her back. There was little in the way of hidden danger to alert her muti sense. The road had a rough shale and gravel surface, the loose rocks shooting across onto the grass and down the slope of the hill toward the beach. As they descended, Mildred looked at the island that lay only a couple of miles out across the narrow channel. It was fairly flat and seemed to be well covered with vegetation and trees. The environment over there seemed to be better suited to supporting life than the barren hillside of the peninsula they were on. They reached the bottom of the hill and followed the road, most of them glancing out at the channel. The waves lapped gently along the shallow beach, but as they looked further out, they could see patches of white water that pointed to a cross current that could be deadly to the unsuspecting. It was likely the island was isolated and uninhabited because of it. Despite the fairly short distance, negotiating the narrow channel would be a dangerous task. Looking up, the redoubt entrance could be plainly seen, and once more it crossed Mildred's mind to wonder why the Predark base had been left so completely undisturbed over the past century. Rounding the hill, the companions found that they were immediately ascending once more, the land on the other side of the hill narrowing to a band of rock that formed a sharp slope that led upward to form a bridge between the hill and the mainland across the water. The tides around the coast had to have eaten away at the rocks over centuries, chipping away the land until it formed little more than a narrow causeway. The topsoil that covered the hill became more sparse, slabs of rock showing through and coloring the landscape a slate gray.
I think I know why the redoubt has been left alone.
They could all see what had happened. The centuries of tide had worn the rock to a narrow bridge, the shift in the landscape fashioned by the post-Nukost nuclear winter rendering a causeway at its narrowest point. But the bridge was incomplete, the gap to the other side about 10 feet. Jagged shards of rock fell abruptly away to the razor-sharp granite below, which was consistently being lashed by the current as the tides forced water into the narrow channel. Across the divide, the causeway reappeared with the same jagged disruption in the pattern of the dark rock face. It was as though the tide and the earth movement beneath had caused a great chunk of the natural bridge to be ripped from the causeway and tossed away, isolating the hill completely from the mainland. Beyond the divide, the causeway widened to join the rest of the coastline, where the greenery was lush and the land looked fertile and verdant.
Fire blast.
Ryan Cotter saw that if there were some way to bridge the divide, they would reach a landscape that offered the promise of good living and perhaps a friendly vill. To their back lay only an island and the barren hill, with the possibility of a quick mat trans jump to another place, assuming their constitutions could take another jump so quickly. Knowing how Doc and Jack were always affected, and from the way in which Dean had suffered from this particular jump, it didn't seem a viable option this soon. Jack joined the one-eyed man at the head of the divide and looked down onto the razor-sharp rocks below. The albino looked across toward the far side of the gap, screwing up his red eyes to get a better view in the wind that whipped through the hole left by the missing rock.
If a bit shorter, would say I try climb down, maybe get across. Didn't make rope across.
String a line across, then hand over hand. Half, maybe three quarters of the distance, or we could all make it. But this is a bit much for Doc, maybe for Mildred and Dean as well. Anyway, who could get down this side, across, and then up the other?
Maybe me, if water not run strong down there.
Ryan cast his eye down to the cross tide as it crashed on the razored rocks.
Yeah. Try to get across those rocks with no tide and you could probably just about make it. But if one of those waves catches you, you're fucked.
Cut you up like the sharpest knife.
Nothing to do except go back then.
The other companions moved to the edge of the rock for a better view of the channel. Looking along the coastline that lay behind the hill and peninsula, they could see that the drop from the top of the land to the sea below was sheer for as far as the eye could see. Small strips of sand here and there ended in a sheet of rock that would impede any progress, even if they had a craft on which to sail around the hill and the causeway. The ruptured rock bridge was their only practical hope of reaching the mainland.